Blog Talk Radio.
And seeing our children laying in coffins and maimed by violence. We can't keep looking the other way. We have to save the children.
The children of the world. Let us save the children of the world. Children of trade, every day we must kneel together and pray. The children of the world.
Yo, this is Mood Control. Saying you might as well pay attention. You can't afford free spirit. Mood Control is designed to render funkable ideas brought to you by the makers of Mr. Prolong, better known as Urge Overkill. The pimping of the flame principle.
Oh, but we'll be pecking lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache. Cause it's cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention. You see? A pack of bucks. And lo and behold, one talking with Mood Control.
Every kind of beer.
Deprogram.
Technique
lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache.
When you're picking every kind of beer.
The non-profit organization. Name that feeling. Would you trade your funk for what's behind the third door? The big deal. Heads I win, tail you lose.
Yeah.
take it to the bridge.
Check your phone. Fly on. say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Dr. Funkenstein, they call me the big pill. I want everybody here tonight to put your hands together and give up the funk, cause it's about that time. Is everybody ready? Are you ready out there? Let me hear you sing it for me one time, y'all, before we get started. The bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Well, they call me the big pill. A Dr. Funkenstein here. The disco theme with the monster sounds. My hip bone connected to my thigh bone. My thigh bone connected to my leg bone. Leg bone connected to my ankle bone. I get so hung up on my bone. A Dr. Funkenstein here. Preoccupied and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of hip. Are you ready out there? We're gonna do it one more time and I want everybody to sing it this time. Hey, hold on, do it again.
We're to my ankle bone.
Or off your toe, my bone bone.
Now drop the fucking sign, yeah.
Put out your powder, get it, the preservation of the fucking gift.
Brother to the night. Flow.
Connection. This is Antoinette, and tonight's class is You Are Your Own Worst Critic with Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie, you with me?
Yes, I am, Sister Antoinette. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're loud and clear. Well, thank
That's
you for
great.
Being with us tonight, and I know that you have something dramatic planned for us that we are anticipating and hearing.
No more dramatic than any other class that we have, and it's all in what anybody hears and anybody more than that resonates with, because that's the key to everything, is that we hear thousands of words per day, but there's only key words for each individual that resonates with them personally. So what resonates with me might not resonate with you. The same goes for what's true for me might not be true for you. Might be and might not be. So when a word hits you that resonates with you, my suggestion is find that number out of that word that's resonating with you, and then find those existing words that also has that same number of the word that resonated with you, because you find out that all of the words with that same number has a particular frequency and it's already resonating with you. You're just now becoming aware of it. So that's one way to look at using these numbers and words when you hear a particular word, because that's what we have been programmed to respond to. As Parliament says, peck me lightly like a woodpecker with a headache, because it's easier, cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention, because we know how hard it is right now to pay attention. When they tell us by the reports of society's so-called experts that children have a 7 to 56 second attention span, and adults only have a 3 minute attention span. And I say for most, because I'm not putting all of us in that lump sum, because I'm definitely not in that bag, you know. So, and I know a lot of us that frequent these classes and other shows that you listen to aren't into that propaganda, because at the end of the day, that's part of it. Because remember, what we hear, we can't unhear. And the things we hear that sounds good, reasonable, or whatever, we start pushing. If other people haven't heard it, once we talk about it, they've heard it now. So that person that gave it to us don't have to say it no more because we are pushing it for them. And if we don't put our word, our spin on whatever they have told us, then we've done ourselves and others that we are giving the information to a disservice. So these are the things that we have to be conscious of, aware of, when we're talking, spreading information or anything. This is why we got to get into it a little bit deeper. This is why we tell people to research and investigate, you know, what we're talking about before we pass certain information on. Is it true? As much as we can find out, it's trueness. What's actually real with it, with what we're saying. But before I get off topic, let me again acknowledge, as I always do, the family by first acknowledging Ashe to the ancestors, Namaste to the elders, and much love, honor, and respect to the family and listening audience for your time and space, and most of all, this portion of your life that you are sharing with us. It is greatly appreciated because we know you can be any place else doing anything you want to do, and for you to take the time out to share your time with us, it's always appreciated. Much love, family. Thanks for being here. Because, again, at the end of the day, when we say everything has a reason, you're here for a reason. It's something that's going to be said that you need to hear. These are the reasons that we're tuned in to whatever we're tuned in to, whoever you're listening to. It's a reason for it. So pick up on that vibration, that frequency of love, and let it flow. So with that, Sister Anjanette, how are you doing this evening?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well.
Good.
And how about yourself?
I'm funking right now. You just put me on two of my favorite Parliament songs, Funkintelligy, which was the first one you played. And that's We'll Be Pecking Lightly Like a Woodpecker with a Headache, family. We do it every week. We pecking lightly like a woodpecker with a headache, because it's cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention. And that lyric only means that we're pecking, we're giving bits of knowledge like a white system, a white man who has a headache, because we're spreading information that they do not want us to spread. He's got the headache. He is the peckerwood. Peck me lightly like a woodpecker. We call them peckerwoods. We just turned the woodpecker around the peckerwood.
Yeah.
Because again, it's the peckerwood that's also a woodpecker that's referred to as having a red neck. Who else do we call rednecks? So those who know the information and know what we're giving that's vital, that's giving them a for sure headache, family. And Dr. Funkenstein, oh, my goodness. We love to funk with you, think with you, Dr. Funkenstein, your thought. Your funk is the best. Take my mind and give me the mind to funk, to think with the rest. Hit me with the one and then, on the one, baby. If you like, hit me again, because we love to think. It's all about critical thinking, not no critical race theory, critical thinking. This is why tonight's class is You Are Your Own Worst Critic. Getting back to critical thinking, not a theory, pure thought, uncut thought. the bomb being the best, because if you ain't cut what I'm giving, and you ain't putting nothing on it to dilute it, it's straight. And that's what we want. We want the straight, unadulterated funk thought, and then bring it home to one another. So with that being said, Sister Internet, what current event do you want to share with the family this evening?
Well, one thing I want to share is I was listening to an episode from RZA Islam, and he talked about, one was, don't go a past, or not don't. If you go a past something, a word or a symbol that you do not know or understand, don't just let it go. Write that down and take that word and get a dictionary and look up all of the meanings of the word and different pronunciations or, you know, different variants of the word, everything regarding that word, because the word has, you know, so many different meanings and everything to it. And after you take that down, look them up, you know, and then write down 10 sentences for each of the variants of the words that they have that goes with it. And with that, you know, you can kind of see what the word really means. Now, I'm adding to it, not Brother Rizam, so don't go back and blame him. But I'm saying take it then and break it down to the numbers. And so that way you have the number, and as Brother Eddie and I had discussed earlier, does it come down to the five? Does it come down to resonate with you? Now, Brother Eddie, you have anything that you want to correct me or add to that?
Yeah, adding to it, not correcting you on anything. Because that's the way we have to understand what I see, you may or may not see. What's true to me may or may not be true or real for you. So we can't get into the tit-tat debate back and forth. It's the things that resonate with you, you know, whatever said. So with what you're saying with the words, which I always tell people, my thing is the numbers. We could look all day, all night, like there might be 50 different dictionaries with 50 different definitions. Some slightly the same, but still a variant of the word by the definition. To me, that's too much. That's too much of a distraction. You know, for me to write down the number so that I could find the coinciding words with the same number to create what I want, to create my meaning, because that's it. We've given too much to finding their meaning out. And again, this is what's got us all over the place. Because it's their meaning, it's their word, it's their bastardized language that we still trying to figure out. No, we not found the number out. Numbers don't lie, so let it guide you to the other words with the same number. So you be the creator you are to come up with what you're coming up with the language of English. But behind these words now, you are looking and relying on the number that basically corrects you in whatever you're doing. It's your corrected, it's your guiding stone. So this is what we need to start doing as far as, and again, I'm only giving another way, another suggestion on how to break these codes down of words that we've been given, that as we continue to learn, because we're still learning day by day. Just like if you find a word you're not accustomed to. Don't bypass it, as you said. Find that definition out. These are the things that have been told, that you learn something new every day. It ain't new under the sun, but it's new to you. So, yes, we do need to take time to find these things out so that when we talk to others, we deliver messages, we have variations that we could draw from to give a deeper meaning. And like I said, once we get it, we still put the spin, because your spin is your word, even by the number. Spin is 15, word is 15. Put your spin on it. Put your word on it. Don't keep regurgitating the same words that you read over and over, even though they're locked in your mind. Because the key is, you can't untoast the toast, which means you can't unhear what you've heard. You cannot unsee what you've seen. So regardless, anything that we go through or we hear becomes a part of you. Regardless if you consciously remember it or not, subconscious you do. That's the sponge in all of us. Your subconscious is the sponge. It retains everything. It soaks everything up, even while you're sleeping. So, yes, be careful of your diet. And your diet is, do I eat this or do I eat that? And what you're eating isn't everything that you digest. You take it in first mentally. So when you hear something, did you eat that? Did you digest that thought that you just heard? You can't unhear it. You not heard it. What are you doing with it? Are you putting it in your memory banks, or is it floating around in your mind rent-free to just come out, to regurgitate on somebody, throw up on somebody when something close to what you've heard comes out? So we have to be careful. You have to be careful. So, yes, I only had that to add to it, not to take away from it or not for any corrections, because we do have to at times need to correct one another, correct ourselves first, but then correct one another if someone's wrong. But when it's nothing wrong, all you do is add to it, enhance what's been given. So that's it in a nutshell for that. So what else you got for us?
Okay, well, one is something that we're seeing too much. Too much we're hearing about these children being snatched. You know, we're, all right, we can't say they're snatched, but I'm saying they're snatched. Where every time you look on a milk carton, there's a child that's missing. You know, you hear Amber Alerts all over the place. And my concern is, what is going on with these children? Now, what I have found is that social media is also one part of, probably a major part, of what's going on with these children being snatched. These children are thinking that they are connecting with another child or something that's, you know, their age, that they're meeting up at places so that, you know, they can interact, you know, not saying anything negative with their interacting. But this is what they're thinking. But instead of it being a child that they're, you know, they're associating with on the internet, it's an adult that is, you know, getting them to meet them at places and then snatching them. And according to, oh, boy, it's a hospital. And, shoot, I had it written down and I can't see it. I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, wait a minute. I can see it. The American Hospital Association child abductors potentially using social media or social networks to lure victims in lieu of in-person. So we have all these things that are against our children, but what are we as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles, neighbors and friends, what are we doing to hear this, you know, to make sure that our children aren't being lured into this? You know, are we watching what they're watching on the internet? You know, do you sometimes go and check their history and in their laptops, in their phones, whatever, check the history to see what it is that they're looking at, who they're talking to, and why are they talking to them? And I think this is something that we really, really have to push and stress. We don't want our children snatched. Where are they being snatched to? Where are they going? We don't know. I don't know. So, Brother Eddie, if you have, and also anyone on the line, if you pressed one, if you have anything that you wish to add, because this is something that is really bothering me about these children being snatched up. Brother Eddie?
Okay,
Brother
I had
Eddie?
Myself on mute. I'm here. I always got to take myself off mute because I don't want you to hear nothing in the background, me dropping something or something anyway. So, you know, I do that hopefully being the example for others to do it when they're on the line, to put themselves on mute when they're not talking, because I hear too much of it on other shows. I'm not going to get into it, leave that alone. But the key thing is basically what you said. We have partial solutions, not the whole solutions, but partial solutions, because the first solution starts with the parent. The parent. I'm sorry, but it's apparent that most parents don't know how to be parents. That's what's apparent. Because first and foremost, ain't no child, no nothing. Got no phone, no computer, no game, no nothing without the damn parent paying for the shit. Children don't have jobs. They ain't got no money to pay, nor to pay a bill. So all the shit in the first place about why is it happening is because the parents aren't being damn parents. Let's go back to when we were coming up. Before you went anywhere, your parents met your new friend. You ain't going over no damn body's house. I don't know. And once I meet the child, I want the child to give me the number so I can talk to the parent if I don't go over there personally to meet the parents and see what type of household they got. See, we got a lot of things that we can stop. We start with the schools also after the parents do their job. Don't put it on the schools. Let the parents do their job first. Take the damn child's phone away if they're not complying with what laws we put down. We give them a phone and let them go damn crazy. And this is when we talk about taking phones and taking games, we hear that children are shooting their parents, shooting their grandparents and crazy shit because we haven't instilled the value of how this technology can be used for good, but how it's also used for bad. So getting to the schools, when I was going to school, when you were going to school, we were going to school, teachers, we would have certain times where we would talk about these things when we see an abundance happening with children being snatched, abducted, whatever. We talk about it in school. We would also have the popo come around. The police would come and would give a little a lecture on do's and don'ts that they know about dealing with the law and what has happened. So we put this on the child's mind. We have experts come in telling us about the telephone jargon that's used now. The language that we as adults don't know, the little emojis and the little different acronyms that they would give. We don't know all these things. We would have people come in and break that shit down. We don't have any of these things happening anymore. See, you said social media is a big part. Yes, they are. Because at the same time, why don't they have anything on social media explaining to children the dangers? This ain't just happened today, yesterday, last week, last year, 2 years. This has been happening now since this internet has been out. As soon as people found out they could use this to prey on children, within a year, we had all type of predators over these phones preying on children. But we don't have any type of programs that are teaching the children what's happening to see, to have them recognize red flags. But first of all, before they even do that, that's the parent. The parent should be in there, like you said, on their phone. We have a daily routine, just like, what did you learn in school? Nothing, that's okay. Let me see your phone, and let's go through your phone for the day. Every damn day, we're going to go through your phone. See, if you're doing something, you're going to slip up and forget something, and it's going to be on there.
Yeah.
But again, these are the things we have to do. We're too laxed and laid back because most parents are playing on the damn phone anyway.
Yeah.
They're playing games, or they looking at porn, or they're texting somebody or sexing somebody that they shouldn't be. So they ain't got time to look at their child. They too busy doing childish damn things they saw.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, Brother Eddie, one of my friends, she, you know, happened to be looking through her daughter's phone and found out that her 11-year-old daughter was sending someone pictures of herself naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With her legs open.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like 11 years old, and, you know, this child was doing that, and, you know, it was like, oh, my goodness. You know, that's not another child. I hope that's not another child.
We don't know. I hope
it's not an adult.
Yeah, like you said, we don't know who it is, but it's easy to find out. Because if she's sexing, the number's going to come up. You find that damn number. You track that damn number down. If you need help of the authorities to track that down, you track it down and find out who it is. Shit, you know, we see this shit and sit back and say, who is it? Oh, no. We finna find out who this motherfucker is and who in the hell you been doing this with.
Yeah.
We finna find some shit out. Your parents don't take it to that level. You know, okay, yeah, chastise your child, discipline your child, but now get on this technology and you do your investigation and find out who in the hell, is it another child? If so, we got to sit down, everybody, and talk to these parents, too. Because at the same time, their parents ain't doing their job. And if it's an adult, oh, we finna arrest this bastard. See?
Yeah.
So that's one way to get some of the shit off the street. If we were diligent about doing our damn jobs with our children. You know, half of the things that you hear, it ain't diligent because you'll hear what you just told me, but what's the follow-up? We said that a while back. We did a class called follow-up. What's the damn follow-up? What did you follow up on to make sure you got this shit cleared and rectified? How many other people got this picture now of your daughter? Did this person send it and post it or put it somewhere? You don't know. But you find out who in the hell they sent it to. No.
Yeah.
See, like I said, half of the things are the parent.
Yeah,
you know, and
most
like I said,
definitely.
If the parent don't know, shit, it's called PIP. Parents informing parents. You find another parent that knows or an older parent who's been through things like we have so that we can inform these younger parents on what to do. That's part of the village concept that has been lost. Shit, Right now, I can't lie. I'm in a new community, and again, I don't know the neighbors on either side of me. When I was at my original place, I knew the whole neighborhood. Well, let me rephrase that, my whole block. I ain't going to lie like that and say I knew my whole neighborhood. I knew my block. Everybody on my block, on both sides of the street, I knew them by name. I knew their children's name. I took time out to go and ring their bell and introduce myself. We don't do these things anymore. That's part of the biggest problem. We lost how to truly communicate with our neighbors. Before I go all over the world trying to do anything, start right on your own block, block by block. But I know it's a lot of us on the line right now that in a neighborhood or on a block and don't know one four for the people that's on your block. We know them by sight, but we don't even know their names. Don't even know their names. See them at a grocery store and just nod. I say, hey, how you doing? And say, don't know their name. That's pathetic. This is why we're in the condition and trouble that we're in. Because things that we knew growing up as children, we knew everybody on the damn block.
Yeah.
You knew Miss Mary,
yes, we did.
Mr. Andrew, Miss Johnson. They knew you and knew your mama. And if
yeah.
you got out of hand, if they didn't want to take it in their hands and tap you on your butt, they made sure that they let your mama and your daddy know what you did wrong while you or they weren't home. They saw you. So we were very leery about doing things wrong in the neighborhood. This is why children get out of their neighborhoods and go to other neighborhoods where the adults didn't know them. Now they don't care. Because the adults don't know them in their own neighborhood. There's no communication.
Yeah, I know. See? I would do things, and because we had white folks that lived in my neighborhood when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do things to taunt this one little white girl. Lord, that white man would go to my dad and tell my dad exactly what I did. He had
mm-hmm.
no problem with telling my dad that I was wrong. I mean, and now that I'm grown, I understand it wasn't a matter of color. It was just that I was wrong.
You was wrong. That's it. That's it. Like I said, the color scheme really doesn't matter. It's what's got us messed up is the game of color and race that we keep looking at first, and we don't see people for people. See?
Yeah.
We don't see parents for parents. I don't see a Hispanic parent, a white parent, and an Asian parent. I see parents. And when a parent ain't doing right, it's apparent to me that they ain't parenting properly. This is why we still get that old phrase that people will tell you, that ain't my baby. My baby don't do that. You don't know what in the hell your baby does when your baby ain't in your eyesight. Just like you being the person you are, very nice and laid back, but you was a toner back in the day. You did some scrupulous things that you know was wrong. You knew that you were taunting that girl. Even as a child, you knew you was taunting her, but you still did it.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I also know when I paid the price for it, not for her, but for another girl in school where, you know, taunting
mm-hmm.
her. And that little girl, I fell asleep on my desk, and my mother kept my hair in two Pippi Longstocking ponytails, and that little white girl cut
mm-hmm.
one of them. And
yep.
my mother would not cut my hair even. So I had one ponytail that was long and the other one that
long
was
and one short. That taught your ass. That
was mean then. That was mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it made you act right, straighten up and fly right. Yeah. So, like I said, however that they did the lessons that they gave us lessons that we can look back today and see how effective they were. They didn't have to beat us till they beat our skin off our bodies. They just did things that they know would affect us.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, like I said, karma is something else. When karma comes back and bites you in the butt, it's something else. So, yeah. But like I said, with that there, and I've been saying that for the longest, you know, half of these things, just think, if these children didn't have these cell phones, how could people get in touch with them? And if you have, and they do have security locks or some type of way, parental guidance, just like on television where you can push it in, you got to have a code to go. You can do the same thing with those phones. You can get a child's phone where they can only call certain numbers.
Yeah.
They can't even call their friends and everybody. No, this phone is for you to call me, call your daddy, call your sister, your auntie, your family members, the police, the ambulance, emergency numbers in there, and that's it. This is not used for you to use to just at random have fun and play games on and this, that, and no. Parents just do shit and give their children, and then when they will take it, their children go berserk because they're being programmed by this technology. And again, all of these social media sites, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on and on and on. It's a lot of children, you know, video, social media sites I have no idea about now that they keep changing and adding. But again, if you are the parent paying the damn bill, and first of all, you pay for the phone, that's your phone.
That's your phone.
Y'all just, I got this phone for you to use in case of emergencies, not for you to go butt wild on. But we parents, a lot of parents, don't put no stipulations or nothing. So the child don't know, and the child's going to act like they don't know if they do know. I didn't know. You didn't say that, Mama. You didn't say that, Daddy. I didn't know what you're supposed to do here. It's my phone. And let's get it straight. It ain't your phone. It's my phone. I'm letting you use this phone until you're able to buy your own phone and do what you want to on your phone. But right now, until you get to that point, no. This phone is rented out to you, and it's rented out on the pretense that you better follow these rules and regulations. Most parents have never gave any rules and regulations to their child when they give them a phone. See?
That's true, but it's also their laptops, and as I said earlier,
of this technology, the thing is with a parent, come on, you see and we hear all of the chaos from phones and people being done with computers, no. Right? A damn contract and have your child sign the contract. And like we said, you don't sign nothing until you read it. You have them read what you wrote down with the contract, and then you both go over what they read so they understand, not from their understanding, but from what you have put down to understand those rules and regulations. Have them sign it, date it, and tell them if they cross the damn line with what they assign, their privileges of this phone, these computers, these iPads, all this technology will be taken away. And I don't want to hear shit. Do you agree or disagree? If they don't agree, then you ain't got it. But if you agree, if they agree and I find anything out that's inappropriate, all this shit is gone. I don't want to hear shit, no crying, no whimpering, no. And we're preparing them for what's to come as an adult. Because that's what they're going to be doing, signing their life away on contracts for cars, houses, or whatever they get that they got to sign for if they ain't got money up front to buy it. If I want a credit card, I got to sign for the credit card. So you finna find out right now what this taste of life is like. When you don't do your part, these are the things that happen. And out there in the world, it's going to be worse than what I'm trying to show you here. Because I'm doing it in love, son. I'm doing it in love, my daughter. But outside of these doors, ain't no love for you. The love that they have for you is to get your money, for you to be a consumer, and you to spend, 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 buy, 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 buy.
Yeah.
You know? So, no.
Now.
Go ahead.
Now, also, with that, you know, we're looking at what the children are doing. But we as parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents and so forth, we have to take responsibility of what we post about our children. You know, we put in that, you know, oh, my child is this, and they go to this school, they go to that school, and then putting pictures and everything of them on social media, we are opening them up to being snatched as well, because someone has a pattern now of when our children go here or there or what school they go to. They know what they look like and everything else. And it's because parents, you know, or others, you know, in the family have put this out there for a potential child being kidnapped.
Excellent point, because that's why social media, again, is very dangerous. Because people post shit, people do shit, not thinking of the hazards or putting their children or themselves in jeopardy. You got people that post every damn thing that they do on Facebook or whatever social media site that they happen to be on. They post when they go on the trips, when they plan on going, what airline they fly, when they do to get there and when they do to return. So you opening your house up to be burglarized. You opening, I mean, all type of nonsense, because people are desperate for some type of cohesiveness with people, and people use these social medias to perpetrate a life that they could never really have.
All right. Yes.
See, so again, this is all part of a question that I wanted to pose to the family. And again, there's no right or wrong answer, especially when it's coming from you. Whatever it is in you that you feel, then you stick with your guns. You do that. But when you hear something that resonates with you that you can use to enhance where you are, use it. Don't oppose it. Don't push it off. Don't shun it. Because the question that I have is dealing with our maturity. Are you mature, family? See, we say we are adults. We say we are grown-ups. My key is, are you mature? Are you becoming mature? And if you are mature, how did you become mature? And for me, like I said, it's not the meaning itself. We know the meaning of mature. For me, to get me to what helped me to become mature is understanding the number of mature, to find the number of another word that shows me that, okay, now I see. Ain't nobody got to tell me. I see. I witness. I recognize the maturity in me. Because remember, tonight's class is you are your own worst critic. So for me, seeing that I have matured and I'm still growing in my maturity is to know that I'm mature because I have now reconnected with nature. And it's simple for me because I look at the number before the word. The only difference of the word mature in nature is that you replace the M with an N. If I put N in front, it becomes nature. If I put the M in front, it's mature. It's no coincidence that mature and nature are both 25. Consciousness, 52. I become mature when I discover myself. Yourself is discovered in nature is when the maturity starts. This is why we hear everybody now talking about their maturity of their journey is dealing with the nature that they're now getting in tune with. Getting out in the sun, going out to the lake, going out to the beach, getting in the water, going out into the forest, talking and communing with the trees, grounding themselves, earthing themselves, all of these things pertaining to nature is your maturity, family. That's me. Don't get it twisted.
Yes, we have a caller with their hand up. I believe this is Brother Kwame.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yes, I believe this.
Okay, bring Brother Kwame in.
Yes, Brother Kwame, good evening. Oh, we got a lot of static. Oh.
Good evening, sister.
Good evening. Is that my line or is that?
That's mine.
Oh, okay. Oh, we can't hear you.
Yeah,
it's,
I can't hear
nothing,
man. It's a lot of
static.
I can't even hear.
No.
And can't hear you, Brother Kwame.
All right.
Ooh.
They messing with you. It's sabotage, man. They messing with your phone.
All right.
Okay, I think you said you're going to call back. I'm not sure because I couldn't.
Yeah, I said I'm going to call back in.
Okay.
Okay, let me.
Okay.
I'm going to play a song while you call back in.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save the world in despair. Who really cares? Let's save all the children.
Good evening, Brother Kwame. You back with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're clear. You're perfect.
Much better. Much better.
Yes.
I had to get the landline because that cell phone, and I'm grateful because that static lets me know that they ain't got a direct hit on me.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's important what the topic is because nature is very much important because we're having to have a new nurturing in this fifth dimensional energy. It's how do we nurture into something that we have never been in before? And that's the maturity of it. And the part of the, even the, when you said mature, you take off the N and you take off the M and put on the N and you got nature or you got, you know, mature when you put the M. But when you take the first two letters, you got ma.
Yeah,
and
ma
is Mother Earth or the mother that the grandma or the mama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to look at how are we nurturing these children, and nurturing doesn't begin when they come out of the womb. How do they get into the womb? How do we put our children into the womb? That is the challenge because we have not given the guidance in being able to look at how did we do coming out of captivity and living through Jim Crow and all of that. We have more family-oriented. We have more married couples than we do now today when we're supposed to be free and got more and we do less as families. Something is wrong with this picture. We've lost the four things that once upon a time Brother Eddie was talking about. You had the big mamas and Antoinette was saying, people could say, they didn't come to you and say, what's your name? They go like, who is your parents? Because
yeah.
you didn't represent you. You never represent you. You represent your family.
Yeah.
And how you come out of the house and what you do in the community represents your community. We have got so far from communal to we're so individualistic. It's to the point where we named a phone after us. I have this phone. I do this. I use this phone. Or I'm a robot. I'm an android. So we're looking at, even back in the day, we called it what? Ma Bell. They didn't call it iPhone or
yeah.
Android. They were representing the female communication.
Yeah,
Ma
Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they knew that she was the communicator. The mother is the communicator. She's the nurturer. This is how we communicate. Even when you sitting thinking that, uh-oh, my mama going to know I didn't do it something, because she can pick up on your energy.
Yeah.
She can pick up on that grandma can give. She had a cell phone that she, two ways she could give you a cell phone. She could give you that look, or she could give you that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it took. Grandpa did the same thing. When the women and everybody got loud in the house, Grandpa sitting in the corner, he'd get up and go, everybody stop.
Yeah.
Grandpa clear his throat, everybody shut up. So we've lost some values. We lost how morally correct we are. It was never that women used to come down the street and old winos would get up off the ground, brush themselves off. How you doing, ma'am? Can I help you with your car? That ain't happening today.
Yeah.
We got all of this homelessness and degrading and having children and families outside sleeping in cars or sleeping in tents. You know, and this is getting ready. Eddie was just telling me it's snowing up in Wisconsin. What are those homeless people going to do? This is going to be a winter because you burnt up all that forest in Canada, and those Arctic winds is coming down and it's going to do the Midwest and the East Coast some danger.
Yes.
And you got all of these people out there that's been brought in for laundering money, the cartel sending up their new people up here, and you're going to have massive frozen bodies on the streets.
Yes. Yes.
And the other part that was, yeah, and the part Eddie was talking about was important. Once upon a time, we knew we had a neighborhood. Now we're just the hood. We got just like a horse. You put blinders on. You don't see but nothing but one thing right in front of you. You don't know what's on either side of you. You don't use peripheral. You don't use peripheral community. You don't know who's living beside you and that. And I'm grateful where I am because I know I got a forest on this side of me and I got a forest on the other side in front of me and in back of me because most of these people down here is retired and don't look like me.
Okay. Yeah, which is not
how
good.
Far is your closest, how far is your closest neighbor, Kwame?
About an acre, about 2 acres away.
Great, yeah.
Oh, what?
Yep.
2 acres away because I got an acre in front of me from where I am to the street is 1 acre, and then across the street is another acre, and then their house sits on the lake, which is that 2 acres.
Yeah, yep.
And so you're talking about running a football field because an acre is just about a football field.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, and my neighbors is four fawns and two does. No, it's about 8 of them now. The old buck, he disappeared. But them, I got a bunch of squirrels. I got about 2 foxes, a raccoon, and an armadillo and a possum. That's the community.
Okay.
Those are my neighbors.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
that's how they did.
Yeah.
In the house where I was, the deer's coming from across the park, coming in my yard. The geese, the rabbits, the squirrels.
Oh,
that's
a rarity nowadays.
Yes. Yes.
Rabbits
especially in the city are
far and few between. They used to see them all dead up and down. You don't see it like that nowadays. Rabbits is, they ain't producing or getting ate up or ran over.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yes. Hey, Kwame, share. Man, because that vision, and I was watching animals and saw this world.
Oh, you're talking about yesterday when,
yes,
when the hawk
man.
Went out and
yes.
The hawk. It's hawks over here and got owls, and the hawk flew down, and the squirrel was on the branch, and he was able to grab him. He grabbed him off the branch and was flying. This owl swooped down and snatched the squirrel out of the hawk's talons and took off. That hawk had a fit. He flew up on the limb. He was cussing and scratching and screeching, and that owl was gone with his squirrel.
Oh, my.
Man. I visualized that so clear and saw that picture in my head. I was like, man, I was so grateful that you shared that with me. But these are the type of things, like I said, family, that we can do. We can hear stories from others because they become visual storytellers. And we are there while they're telling their story. And we can visualize it. We can see it. And
right.
I was so appreciative of that yesterday. And like I said, man, all day I was looking at animals and seeing if any birds, because there's a lot of hawks out here, was going to come down and because they are preparing for winter. And these are the things that
right.
you see. They starting to get their food and stuff for their slumber that
yeah,
they're going to
the
go through for the winter. Yes.
Right. And the other part, I'm reading a book called Stolen Focus. And in this book, Stolen Focus, he's talking about how we have now, they're saying 57% of people here on Turtle Island do not read a book for years since this technology. The average teenager's attention span is 65 seconds. The average person in the office working on a computer is 3 minutes. because they're either looking at their phone on the screen or hearing somebody else's screen responding, and the attention span and being able to, now we're down to reading 280 characters. That's what they allow you on Twitter. People don't even write text, long texts. They use emojis now. That's how they've taken and eliminated words. And then who was it? It was on Dry Bones. It was the show he did yesterday for Halloween. And the brother there, Brother D in St. Louis, was saying, it was these brothers was talking about, they don't know how to read curse it right, and they don't know how to curse it right. And I'm going like, look at this. You got a whole generation now that cannot even read a letter written in cursive. That's dangerous. How do we record our stories? Put it on TikTok.
Oh, my. That's terrible. That's...
The reading comprehension of children in elementary school is, this is why they're now saying schools like in Boston, they're not reading at their level, because how are you reading on an iPad? Most kids doing, and their parents can't help them because there's a Q&A on an iPad that they can't even get the parents to help them. They don't bring home books. They bring home iPads.
No. Yeah, that's true.
Lisa saved the baby's backs, because I used to look at some of them kids walking with them backpacks on, and I was going like, boy, they're going to need a chiropractor by the time they reach adolescence.
Yeah. Yes,
and
you're absolutely right about that,
because
those books are heavy.
It was a few, because you didn't see all of the children walking with backpacks on four like that. You see those who were serious about school with all
right.
their books from all their classes, but a whole bunch of the other ones, they backpack
but
wouldn't be full of it all.
No.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that they had with the education, because you used to have to take, you had a locker and you kept your books in there for each class. You changed classes. Now you don't even go to a locker basically just to put your coat and stuff in, because everybody brings an iPad to the classroom.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
And that's what I was saying earlier, Brother Eddie, where it's, you got to check the history of what they're doing, you know, every day, as you said. But that history needs to be checked on to, you know, protect these children. We're not protecting them if we don't know what's going on. Check the history inside of their, all of their gadgets.
Right. And see, that's the part that they're now so smart, they know how to erase their history as to what they do, or they have it to where it's encrypted on these certain apps.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they have their own password to get into the part that they want to get into. And the thing is that, you know, we've allowed technology to become us. They're the new parents.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier. It's apparent that parents don't know how to be parents because, again, like I said, a lot of this could be squashed if people come up with their own ways and their own ideas. My suggestion was, parents, write out a damn contract for you and your child, because they don't pay. They didn't buy the phone. They don't pay the bills. You do. So
right.
this contract is written out for you to put different criterias down that they must follow in order to keep their cell phone, their iPad, their computer.
But even with that, you create the whole thing is like taking the bottle away from an alcoholic, or you taking the drugs away from an addict. That is their dope. That is their addiction.
But that's the key. Like, before you give them the dope, this is why the contract is being written out beforehand, not after you gave them the drugs and now you want to take it back. No, like I said, this is the shit that the parents need to do. Before
They give them any technology right out of damn contract.
But what you
have them sign it the same way you say they don't know how to do cursive. You have them sign it, and damn it, if you don't know how to sign in cursive, you can't do it until you learn how to write in cursive. I mean, put different criterias in front of them so that they would have structure. They don't know it. It ain't going to say no parent, but don't too many parents do these things.
But Brother Eddie,
we giving all these stories of these children going out of hand when a child's phone is taken away or their game is taken away and they kill their grandparent, they kill the parent because they not took the phone. A baby going crazy because you not took the phone out their hand. This is a baby. Don't even know what a phone really is, but they already connected to it.
Right.
We got to learn to be parents.
Right, and even the part of, that's why I say it begins in the womb. You're sitting there pregnant, a woman sitting there with a laptop on her lap, or she's sitting there with the phone on her pregnant belly, texting and doing whatever, looking at Facebook and whatever. That transmission is going where? Inside to that child before it even comes out into the world. That's why the children coming out can have and grab a phone and know how to turn it on and know how to work it because they were programmed before they even came out.
Well, again, if we think about it, they knew what they was doing before this even took place because, again, like
right.
You said, we're in the age of Aquarius. What did they dub this as? The digital age.
Right.
See, digital age, digital is 31. Children are 31.
And the other part of the digital age is that Gil Scott-Heron made the song dot dot dash dot 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 dash because that's the way they started. The first internet was dropping the telegram line from the Turtle Island to Great Britain in order for Victoria to send telegrams to Madison in the White House. And this is where the cloud is in the ocean. All of these cables is running, connecting all of these countries basically underwater.
You know,
yeah, because
I could be wrong, this thought just came to me that when it lands, you know, when things land, they say how it has given birth. So then are you saying that the water represents the woman, a pregnant woman?
Right, but it also represents what my new project that I'm doing is called Pick It and Click It. The whole industrial age came from what? The fibers of cotton that created thread in order for them to create the cloth, to create the textiles that created that industry. Right? And that began the whole industrial age and the whole factories and building and all of that came out of cotton. Now you have the move from the industrial age to the plastic age. Now we're moving into the what? Fiber optic age. Because everything now is transmitted through fibers, just like we used to do science project and take a string and take two cans and tie a knot on the string and put a little hole in the can and tie a knot and pull a string and you could talk to each other through the thread.
Yeah.
This is all that they're doing because cotton has crystal in it. When you study the science of cotton, cotton is crystalline, and then when it's wet, it's more stronger, like whoop. And so you're looking at all of these ways in which they've developed because in order to make a textile, they had to learn how to weave it together. And so you're weaving it to do what? Create a web, to create a cloth. The same thing you're looking at now, you have a web that's creating the way in which you can text and communicate if that's what you're doing. Because the texting was first Morse code.
That is right.
Yeah.
That's why fiber, crystals.
Right. Fiber
crystals
optics.
Are 32 and fiber is 23, the 5 family.
Right.
These numbers are the five. He's telling us the code. Code is five. It's telling us how they've been using this code.
Dealing and how do they communicate through the fiber optics?
Yes.
They have code and algorithm.
Yes. Yes, yes.
There you go.
When we see the numbers, it's a part of the code that we could start deciphering right away. We can see clearly what they're doing and what they've been doing, because like I say, I constantly say the names change, but the numbers remain the same. They keep using different words with the same number to infringe this code of what they've been doing.
Right.
They didn't change nothing but the word. The number has still stayed from the beginning of time. That's why when we talk about the Helios Bilios, it's the five. We talk about Mother Earth. That's the five. The title of today's class is You Are Your Own Worst Critic. 95. 9 plus 5 is 14. 1 plus 4 is 5. It's all the five. The last show was An Apple a Day Keeps the Doctor Away. 95, the five again. That's even understand. Well, why am I my own worst critic? For me, just look at the number. Find the number first, and you'll start seeing. You, which is Y-O-U, comes to the number 10, which is a 1. Critic comes to 28, which is a 1. That's why you are the critic. You ain't worried about nobody else. If you do, you done messed up. Letting somebody else in your mind rent-free, that's putting stuff on your mind, because that becomes a part of the diet you start eating, listening to other people, listening to other crap, not knowing how to arm yourself. We need that armor. As they say, the armor of God. Armor is 14 to 5. Arm up, family. I'm the armor with the numbers. As they said, I'm not Oscar Mayer Wiener. Well, no, I didn't mean Oscar Mayer, because they had the other one was Armor Hot Dogs. I'm armor, even though it's spelled different. Hot dogs, armor hot dogs. What do kids put on armor hot dogs? Fat kids, sissy kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids, even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
And we can't even hot dogs.
The
yeah,
dog
I remember
kids
that
love to bite. Yeah, they took a bite out of us with that apple. As you said, now they want to call the apple I, because that letter I is 5. And apple is 14, which is 5. They ain't do nothing again but change the word. The number stayed the same. They keep doing
yeah.
this stuff. See, it's all in the code. Code is 5. They done coded it in the names that they give these different gadgets and devices, and we don't see them. We just repeat, 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 regurgitate, regurgitate, regurgitate these names without seeing anything other than the definition that the system has given us. And we run to their dictionaries, not knowing we the damn dictionary. This is why they took our language and gave us a garbage-ass language called English, a gutter language,
yeah,
a made-up-ass language, American English. This is shit.
Yeah.
This is made up. And we fuss about it with these words of English that we've been given with their definition, thinking we're going to make a difference using their definitions with their words. Stop. Find a number and be the creator that we are.
Okay.
We are the creator.
And even with that is, remember, you used to get a list of 10 words for a spelling test on Friday, and you had to write the word, get the definition,
yes,
and make a sentence?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That ain't happening.
Mm-mm. They don't need it. That process of what we did was, as we're saying, was the practice run. They don't have to use the the wand that was called a number two lead pencil. That was our wand. That's why with the pencil, you can erase your mistake. But when you use that indelible ink, ain't no eraser.
Right.
That's it. You locked in. So, yes. That's why the pencil, and they always told you on the test, make sure you use a what number pencil? Two.
Number two.
Number two.
That's one. One is 11. That's a two. That number two lead pencil, graphite, baby. All this is spells unconditional. We never saw it coming.
And
but we've
the other part too, Eddie. Wood, you use wood to put the lead in. Lead comes from the mineral, and the rubber is from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's all natural.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything that we have is started off in a natural state, and they manufactured it and made the stuff we're using now that's not real anymore. It's part real and part manufactured.
And it's copies from nature, because cotton was the thread that they found that when you make the textile, when you take that thread and you weave it together, as you saw the African making kente cloth.
Right.
And that they make the kente to where they look, and where did they learn it? From watching the spider spin a web. Because
exactly.
They said you can take the thread of the spider, the web
mm-hmm.
of a spider, and you can tie up a lion.
Yeah. I mean, a spider's web is some of the strongest thread that there is. It's just light. But again, they found out that texture of that spider's web is very strong.
But what is the most expensive and strong thread, cotton, that is sold on the market? Go in the store and try to buy some Egyptian sheets and see how much you're going to pay for them.
Oh, they're expensive.
Yes.
They are truly,
because
truly expensive.
The fiber, the softness of it, but the strength and durability of it.
Yes.
That's how
I need to make
that rich.
Yeah, excuse me for one second, Brother Kwame. Folks, we have 17 minutes left in this
broadcast
class.
Show.
If you want to continue on with us, you have to call in. Brother Eddie, you want to give the call-in number, please?
Call-in number is 515-605-9343. That's 515-605-9343.
But you know what I did when I called in? I hit the 8685 is a Spanish blog station.
Okay.
You found something out different then, yeah.
Okay, don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for the Helios Bilios. And don't forget to be drumming at 3 p.m. on Sunday Eastern Time, no matter where you are in the world, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We're drumming with Brother Ray. So please don't forget that. Brother Eddie, you want to give your contact information?
Yes, right quick, though. Has anybody heard from Brother Ray lately?
I have.
How's he doing? Is it okay? Okay. So somebody's heard from him and communicated.
Yeah,
okay.
I've
great.
Talked to him. Yes.
So anyway, my contact family is eharris12764@gmail.com. That's eharris12764@gmail.com. Yes, and I have a quick question.
Keep the Fontori family in your thoughts and in your prayers, because this is a difficult time for them. You know, of course, losing any family member, but, you know, they lost their oldest brother. So please keep them in prayer or in your thoughts. You know, because we're all connected, and Brother Billy had, you know, he's had blessed us with giving us, you know, his words, his remembrance of when he was a Tuskegee Airman, and, you know, so we want to keep that. That was a living history that we got from him, that the history books can't tell us all, and he told us. Okay,
That's correct. Forgive me, brother Eddie.
Go ahead.
Oh, no problem, no problem at all. Get that out, so, you know, yeah, we can always keep him in our hearts and prayers and in our minds. As long as he's in our hearts and prayers, he's never forgotten, he's never gone. You know, like we said, he just transitioned to another plane, but everything that he gave us, that he taught us, is still here with us. It didn't go nowhere.
Right.
But I have a question for the family real quick. When we think about the Statue of Liberty, what's wrong with the Statue of Liberty? What does the Statue of Liberty stand
for? It's no liberty. It's not equal justice.
No, what's...
And it's chained. It's chained.
Thank you. It's chains or shackles, as they called it back in the day, where they shackled us. Well, we still have shackles today. The shackles are the chains on our brain. The shackles are for our children, are the damn Nikes, Adidas, and all these other name brand gym shoes that people die, children die for, get killed for. A pair of shoes, shackles, to do what? You know, perpetrate what? To make who rich? Shackles. These shackles now are, as we've been talking, the cell phones are shackles. You can't leave home without your shackles, without your cell phone, the social media, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, etc. Shackles. This is why when we hear about the loneliness, shackles are because there's no human contact anymore. We're shackled down with a lot of stuff that is unnecessary. Unnecessary. Just like you, Sister Antoinette, and Brother Kwame, you still have landlines. How many people still got landlines? Because of the shackles of a cell phone that's a mobile phone that they changed, that it goes with you every place you go. They want to track you. That's why they gave you this, and we don't look at it, but we all know that these are nothing but trackers. They know wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever location you're in, they know. When you pull your phone up, the phone knows where you are. So who
and let them know where you are. But the part is, one
ahead,
part
Ray
you were saying about the Nike and the gym shoe is the thing that does is it's an insulator to disconnect you from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of rubber that doesn't allow the electrical current of the earth to reach into the sole of your foot is why they made that. Because what did we once do? We had moccasins and leather shoes.
Barefoot. Still remember when we used to walk barefoot everywhere? Yes.
Right.
Well,
and so that was our connection to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so with them insulating and disconnecting you, the thing was is that they disconnected you from your mother's frequency.
Yep.
Now, isn't there something that now these younger people, they will not go barefoot at all? Oh, no. You know, they think that's a terrible thing.
Yeah. You know, and you know the other thing that gets it is, what are most folks doing is, unless they're at home, if they go and get in the shower, what do they wear? Flip-flops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how disconnected you are from that.
Yeah.
The only time I've ever wore flip-flops taking a shower is when I'm in a public facility.
Right.
I'm in a gym, and I go take a shower in the gym because I don't know how they clean their floor. I know how I clean my tub. So
right.
I'm not going to put my feet on. That's the only thing I can look at. But, yeah, I've seen people in their house where they go in their shower with their flip-flops on. You know.
Now, what's the only place that most people – And really now it's not a thing, too, because they're now wearing flip-flops on that. Most people won't take their shoes off and walk on the earth unless they're on the beach.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, but, see, you have to understand, I've always been one to go barefoot.
But what I'm saying is that the beach is because you were developed in that water called the ocean, and the embryonic fluid are one and the same. You have a connection because that sand is nothing but crystal from that water, which is the water that you were developed in.
That's that mature, that mama nurturing again, that we are getting when we mature and we understand and we're getting into nature. We understand that we are the stewards of this earth, of the planet. We have a part to play to help mama do what she does naturally. Because, again, what man has done to Mother Earth is unnatural.
Right.
Stealing all of her resources and never putting anything in, taking everything away. But this is why we're the stewards. We're the ones that the smallest thing, getting out and cutting grass, getting out and cleaning in front of your house, your neighbor's house, or as you're walking down the street and papers blowing, you cleaning up Mother Nature. You ain't doing it for nobody else. But that's the maturity in you of nature and keeping Mother as clean as possible. The little bit you can do, everybody does a little bit and do their part, the earth will be, so grateful and so responsive to that frequency of keeping mum. But we're not the stewards that our forefathers were. Because, again, especially now with what we're talking about with all this technology, it's taking us farther and farther away from being stewards of this planet, doing what
right.
you're supposed to do naturally.
Chief Seattle said it long ago in the day. He said that the earth does not need man. Man needs the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part about it. We're thinking that we're doing something and, oh, we got climate change and we got to make all of these different. No. The earth is going to heal itself. You are the one that needs repair.
Mm-hmm. That's it. We are out of order.
Yes.
Yes. That is so, so true. So true. But this is why a lot of females are inclined because of that water connection with them in birth, in birthing children and bringing new life. You know, this is why a lot of women are just get things in abundance. I don't hear men talking about the abundance that nature gives them because being that nurturer that women and mothers are, things come natural to them, especially when they reconnect with nature. But, again, it's a lot of men that hasn't done that, don't feel that, and this is why a lot of men have to go through women to get what they want, even from nature, because a lot of men ain't right. I'm not saying all men, because I know a lot of brothers out there that are real strong and get things in abundance and things come to them, but the majority of men are not, but they find a good woman. That's why they say behind every good woman, every good man is a strong woman, because that woman is backing him up with what she gets naturally. And as you constantly say, this is why
other cultures came over and married into the tribes, dealing with the women who had the land that they were basically connected to. It was the women, as we said, it was the matriarchs who were connected to the earth, is why they owned the land, not the men. But this is why the men have come back and basically use the women to get the property and what they want to do, the damage to the earth that they've been doing for centuries now.
But that's why, and that's why we have the damage to women, is because, see, the woman is more likened to earth than the man. And the part of them creating this patriarchal system is that he doesn't overstand, because man does not give birth. Yeah, you can plow a field, you can drop seeds, but a woman can plow a field and drop seeds, and she knows how to nurture that seed because it's in her when that seed grows. So she has a better understanding than the concept of the seed and nurturing in the earth is in her. We are the seeder of the one. We're the energy. We're the soil. We're part of it, but the whole of it is that the woman is most likened to the earth than she is to the being the human. As being the human, she's more like the earth in being a human, because she reproduces life just as everything that grows in the earth feeds and gives us the nutrition that we need for life. Same way when a woman conceives, she feeds the child through the milk. Her body stores the satipichi and the fat in order to give her the nutrition to keep that child alive and build its immune system up.
Well, can I add
that
something?
Right, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to take you off, but in the woman preparing and defeating, I'm looking at the planting that the garden season is not really over with, because we can plant now what will come up in the spring, and you can plant peas now. You can plant seeds and asparagus, you know, leafy things for them to come up in the spring, so that you'll have these things, strawberries, you know, different fruits and everything. And if you go to whattogrow.com, you'll be able to see a listing of things that you can plant now to have them come up in the spring. And I think that that's important, you know, onions and garlic and, you know, because, you know, we still have to eat, you know, so don't take that, you know, just, you know, and you can put this on, if you don't have a greenhouse, then, you know, grow it on your window ledges. But November is when you can do these things. And since this is the first day of November, you know, this is something that will be good. You know, get your seeds and, you know, start that, because a lot of times during the winter and cold months, people get depressed, you know, because they're stuck in, especially with them talking about it being cold. So, you know, prepare something that's going to keep your mind active and, you know, so that you don't get down, you know, something to look forward to, you know, make sure that you have a picture or something, you know, a habit or something that's going to give you joy, give you peace to see it growing. That's what I wanted to add.
And that's a good point, because in the thing that happens right now, I got all of these trees front, back, on the side, and they're dropping the blanket. That when the leaves shed off a tree and it will stand naked in the winter with nothing bearing and covering it but its bark. And the leaves are the blanket that germinates, helps to keep the seeds from getting direct cold, because they're up under, there's a blanket of leaves, then there's a topsoil, then the seeds are down in the earth where they begin to germinate. This is where you're talking about planting seeds now. Certain seeds germinate in this weather because it's a slow process for them to germinate. Then you have seeds that grow, you know, in the springtime that grow certain things because they have order to how they grow. And so everything has its reason and season in the lifetime. That's what it says when he created. He said the sun, the moon, the signs, and the seasons.
Right.
That was the part that he gave us, is the seasons in which we plant. There's a time to plant, and then there's a time to harvest. And
that's
then there's
right.
a time to and there's a time to get the nutrients.
Right. It's
and
time
so
to
with
yes.
us having these overstandings, it's very important how we stay in balance with the order of nature. Our bodies is automatically set up to follow the order of nature. We have just made our programmed ourselves to get out of order.
That's
yeah.
exactly right. Foods we eat is out of seasonal foods we eat all year long, you know,
right.
throws the body off. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that, you know, we as older folks have to teach the younger people, and not all of us are doing what we're supposed to do. We're falling in our responsibility, which is failing the youth, the babies.
But a lot of us don't even remember.
They're able to then snatch. That, give me 1 second, Brother Kwame, that, you know, because, you know, as the generations continue to grow, and we that have had this fundamental family structure and, you know, life structure on the way how things used to be, we're not continuing it, not everybody, but so that it's passed down. And we have to get back to pulling our families back together, pulling our neighborhoods back together, and instilling these values, because we got to save our babies, because they're coming after them for a lot of reasons. You know, our melanin is worth so much that we don't recognize the cost of it, that they're selling it, you know, in the bottles and, you know, tablets and everything else, where they're not making melanin from, you can't make it. It's something that is ingrained in us. So who else are they getting it from? They have to be getting it from us. So they're taking our children. You know, I mean, come on, we got to do something to save our children. And with that, I'm done before I get too emotional.
Yeah,
and that is so much correct, Sister Antoinette, because, you know, you said it just a while ago when we were talking about Brother Billy. We recorded Brother Billy's story on the program that you did with him and Miss Kim Weston. And the part
yes.
that we have done is that we've recorded because there won't be another generation to live that what they have lived. Our generation will not. Our children will not live the way we live because they won't know can openers and pop cans and landlines and 8-tracks and all. That will be in history books if we even recreate the history book. But we lived it, and this is why Frantz Fanon says each generation out of relative obscurity must either fulfill its mission or we will all fail. Each tool that we grew with that was given to us by our grandparents and our parents were tools in order to get us to where we are today, but to not to forget them, because that's what community meant. That's what the village meant. That's what the neighborhood meant. And having big mamas and having that kitchen table university, being able to sit down at that kitchen table and get fed some soul food for your soul, but also to have the energy of your soul and spirit fed by those who have come before us.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of that is, like I said, we can do so much and we don't. We sit back and jaw-jap and complain a lot instead of questioning and answering, answering questions, Q&A. You know, simple things we can do, like you just said, we've lived a life that our children will never live. So a lot of the stuff that we convey to them, they might not even want to hear. But we can go to simple things that, again, they will never have what we had. And, for instance, talking about all of the consumption of this artificial food, because can't nobody tell me that any of these places, fast food restaurants we go to, got real food anymore. The hamburger ain't real. The last time we might have had 50-60% ground beef was when the lady used to be on the commercial for Wendy's saying, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Because now we're seeing them advertise things like Beyond Steak. Beyond Steak. And come to find out that this ain't real beef. That's why it's Beyond Steak. Impossible Whopper. How long have they been selling us Impossible Whopper meat and we not knowing or recognizing it, but we can see the color of the meat that's supposed to be hamburger ain't right. It don't look right. It don't taste right.
Right. That is so true.
They will never taste the real meat that we had when we were growing up, when grandmama and granddaddy would get a chicken and wring his neck or cut it off. Pluck the chicken and we would have real chicken, real cow, real pork, instead of all this stuff that's being embedded in the foods when they say, oh, well, 10% or 5% of bugs can go in there and it's still consumed for human consumption and the FDA and everybody approves this garbage that we eating. The FDA knows, has its regulations on the sugar that should be consumed, but yet they approve pops, soda, that has an abundance of sugar. That this is why the majority of us, black of the berry, the sweet of the juice, we already got sweet blood, sweet juice, and now you want to give us added sugar with pops, added sugar
with
orange juice. When you look at
it's in vegetables and everything.
You look at the label, it has sugar, and below that it has the added sugar that's added with the sugar. I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
They didn't used to have this where it had added sugar when you only had the little highlight of sugar. 28 grams of sugar. Now you got 28 grams of sugar, and the added sugar is another 7 grams of sugar. I'm like, what?
They sugar and sodium. They add sodium. They add salt and everything.
Let's
don't forget
numbers.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're sweetened with now. They don't even use most sugar.
Yeah, part of the sugar is just another name. But when you look at it, sugar, 25, which is 7. Salt, 16, which is 7. Both crystals, which is 32. But they
Brother Eddie, look.
Yeah.
You put the 7 and 7 together, you still come back to the 5.
There you go. See, that's why I use crystals, 32. You got the 7 and 7 with the crystals from the sugar and the crystals from the salt. Both of those are 7s. So, yes, you caught that. I love it. This is what they're using to basically overstimulate the body with something that it doesn't need that much of.
But even with that, Eddie, and the thing that we have to do in selling body parts, but even in the part of morticians, because I've shared this before with my family who has funeral homes in Mississippi. And the thing that they know is that we learned embalming and how to preserve, but these young people are coming in. They got so many additives and preservatives in their body, we don't even have to embalm them.
Exactly right. They got enough embalming fluid. And
they got enough chuck. They got enough preserved foods in their body.
Yes.
That
yes.
They don't even have to embalm them. They will have a shelf life of 5 years like some canned goods.
Yeah, see, this is
not good
at all. This is truly, truly not good. And, us being our own worst critic, are we looking at the things that we're not doing so that we can become our best critic? You know what I mean? Because in being our worst, but all right, we're being our worst. Are we working on changing that? And then are we looking to what we can do to be our best? Because we can't keep standing at being our worst. I mean, because really, when we look at it, we're at the, that end of life. You know, I hate to say it like that, but we've had more good days. You know, where we were looking forward. I don't know how to say that, Rachel. Let me just discard that.
I think it's kind of saying what we've been. 25, we've been 35, we've been 45. We know how that is. We have the memory to tell those 25 and 35 and 45 years old what they need to be putting in their bodies as opposed
yes.
to, and because our bodies has made it this far where we're 70 plus. And then we turn around and these children, they dying before they even saw make 50.
Right.
And younger. And so what we're
yes.
looking at is we have a memory that they haven't gained yet. And so
this is the part
that we have to begin to look at in saying is that we are the record keepers of our time. And what we're doing is that we share with them what they're coming to do with their new mission, but here's the tools that you can help and strengthen you to build your mission without having to destroy yourself. Because their mission
yes.
is to destroy us.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And Sister Antoinette, as you were saying, you know, in that quote, that phrase, title of the class, you are your own worst critic. And
yes.
we turn that around and you say your best. Well, this is what happened. We're at our best when things are at its worst.
Right. Yes.
When things are at its worst, this is when the best of us comes out. And
but how is that, Eddie?
Like I was getting ready to say on here, it's that critic. We stop being the critic and we start being critical. Because when we become critical, that's part of the spiritual that we always talk about.
And
see, that's why it's called critical thinking, which is spiritual thinking. The critical thinking is spiritual thinking. It's truth in what we're thinking about when it becomes spiritual.
Right,
so
but the other part, too,
is critical for us to be critical in our thinking and not to criticize as the critic does. So that's why you only criticize self, to get the self together so that we become to do our best.
Yeah, please let me say this. Forgive me, y'all. Forgive me. If anybody has a question or a comment, if you press the number 1, I'll open up your line. Forgive me for not saying so earlier. But you can press 1 and we'll bring you in. Okay, Brother Eddie, Brother Kwame.
Now, I wanted to hear what Brother Kwame was going to say on that phrase that I made, we're at our best when things are at its worst.
Right, and the thing is that with us being elders, and they like to say it, there's nothing new under the sun. We have been here long enough to know that we've seen the challenges that a lot of our we've heard about our grandparents, we've heard about it, seen our parents, and we have now our own experience. We have the experience. Okay, you got the information highway, gives you the knowledge, but the wisdom of how to use that knowledge is what you get and see in eldership.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that is so true.
That's why you have the title of grandmother and grandfather, because you have had the time of what you did as a parent, was a mother and a father. Now your children are bringing their children into the world. Now you have that grand knowledge of what you did with them or what you didn't do with them in order to help you to see that it be corrected in that generation that is your grand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's why when you get older, you become much more settled and calm.
Patient.
Much more at peace because you've been through the ringer a couple of times. So, yeah.
Right. And that's what we're talking about, because we have the wisdom of experience. We learn the knowledge because, hey, you ain't going to make the same mistake too many times twice. So you learn as you go. And then you can even witness that this is what this is getting ready to lead you into, and I'm going to forewarn you. Now it's your choice to hear what I say, or I'll watch what you're going to be going through.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that my son had learned with my granddaughter. You know, and I kept telling him when she was little, you know, to make her do chores.
What?
No, not his baby, not his baby, no. Well, now that she's a teenager, she won't do no chores, and she's still afraid of the vacuum cleaner, so she says. The vacuum cleaner scares her. She's was scared of it. Now, I can understand her being scared of it when she was 5 or 6, but you still push her to still use it. But no, he wouldn't do it. And now she won't do no chores because she never had to.
Right, and I taught my son something. My son come running in the house one day, and he said, Daddy. I said, yeah. He said, how come you don't give me no allowance? My friend, Daddy, gave them $5, and my other friend got $10 for his allowance. I say, JoJo, come here. I said, open the refrigerator. I said, you can go in here and get anything that you want when you ask for it, right? Yeah, I allow you to do that. Come on, let's go upstairs. See this room? This is your room, right? Open the closet. See all them clothes in there? All of them are yours, right? Yeah, those are my clothes. That's my shirt. That's this. And he's pointing this and that. I said, I allow you to put that on, don't I? I said, now, I tell you what. Come on downstairs. See that garbage right there? That bag is full. If you take it out, I'll pay you to do that. But I'm not going to pay you tonight, do nothing.
Right.
Yep.
That is so true.
And that's where we mess up at. Because I seen a child in Walmart one day, and he was crying and wanting this toy, and he was crying, and the woman was like, no, I can't, you know, I don't have it. Well, take that card out your purse and go to ATM machine and get the money to get me that toy.
Yeah.
I said, if that was my child... take the ATM card out your purse and get the money to get me my toy.
Brother Crommy, my granddaughter, the oldest one, but just when she was a baby, she went in her mother's purse and got her credit card and ordered stuff. And she was just a little thing. I can't even remember how old she was, but she ordered the stuff for her phone because she had a phone.
Right. And, you know, that happened with the when they first came out, Alexis. Some kid turned around and seeing her mother said, Alexis, order this at my Amazon, order this on Amazon. So she's sitting there watching television, so she would just go over to Alexis and say, Alexis, order this toy for me, order that. Her mother said, all these packages start coming in, stacked up by the door, and come to find out the little girl was just going over to the Alexis and telling them what she wanted.
Oh, my. See, that's the reason why I don't have Alexis.
Yeah.
Lord, I have too many grandchildren. No, let me correct that. I don't have too many grandchildren, but I don't want my grandchildren using that.
But you guide the child. It's just like,
yes.
You know, you want the child coming to get out of here because this stove is hot. The kid don't know what you're meaning. Now, if you took his hand and walked it over there and put it up to close to the stove and let him feel the heat, now he knows what you're talking about. But if you're not telling him, if you just say, get out because I say do this, that's not giving them reason. Child has to learn the reason.
Yes. Yes. You're absolutely right. That is true. I remember too many times.
Communications and most people don't know how to communicate. That's why you have a lot of...
It's because I say so.
Yeah.
That's that old term that didn't give any explanation that a child is going to look for what he didn't get. If I didn't get no explanations, I want an explanation. So I'm either do it the wrong way or I'm going to ask somebody else. But one way or another, I'm going to find that answer out that you didn't give me just by telling me you do what I say, not what I do.
And what do we usually do? Because a child learns by seeing more than it does by hearing.
Yeah.
It learns by seeing. Because it watches, and this is why the technology has become so addictive. It's gotten the eyes of the people. People's eyes are the main thing that they focus on stuff. It's not listening, it's seeing. And this is where all these faces and those eyes are following those pages on these devices is because that's what they capture, the eyes. Eyes are the what?
Window of the soul. Window of
the
soul.
There you go.
Mhm. But also, I say it's also feeling, because you know if you do something wrong and you get that switch on you, you know, oh, not to do that no more.
Yeah, but you ain't got to do that because you get that look, grandma's look,
lets
you know that I have messed up.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, most children know when they're messing up because they're looking over their shoulder when they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
They're looking to make sure they don't get caught. So they already know just by doing it and looking back to see if somebody watching, they already know.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's a reason why I don't say MF. I got a beating for it. My grandfather picked me up and swapped me across my behind when I was little. About 10 or 11, for saying MF-er, and you know I still do not say MF-er, and my grandpa's been dead and gone since 93.
My daddy will fight if you call him an MF. I've seen him reach across the table and knock his brother down for calling him an MF.
Well, I didn't even call it to him. Look, I said it to my cousin, and my cousin went and told my grandfather that I said it. And he popped me, and he only did it one time, only popped me one time on my behind, but it was enough that I knew, oh, don't say that.
My granddaughter
told
you.
And there was a time when after, you know, I had this, you know, this the aneurysm that erupted, And it took me a while to find myself, and I said, oh, well, I need to go back home. And I went back up to the house, and I went behind the house. It was an old railroad track, but we weren't allowed to go up that way because there's a creek running through that area, you know, right there under the tracks. And I ran up that hill, but all the while, now even though I knew that my grandfather was dead and gone, I kept looking over my shoulders to make sure that my grandpa didn't see me. I don't know the logic in that. But I did all of that so I could find me.
Yeah.
But I was still looking for my grandfather, too, because I knew I wasn't supposed to do it because he didn't allow it while he was, you know, alive. You know, we were not allowed to go up that way, up the hill.
I remember a lot of things my grandfather said. And one thing that always stuck with me, my grandfather said, if you don't remember nothing else I tell you, just remember this one thing, you cannot do wrong right.
That is so true. That is so true, and I've heard that too. You know what, and that's something that, you know, maybe we... You know, we three, and I don't know, you know, whoever is with us, you know, everyone else, but something that we can come up with and work on. What do you think, Brother Eddie?
I was waiting for y'all to slow down because I missed what Kwame said that his grandfather said that you commented on. So what was that, Brother Kwame?
Yeah, he always told, he said, if you don't remember nothing else I tell you, he said, just remember, you cannot do wrong right.
Okay.
But see,
yeah.
What I hear what Antoinette is saying, those old sayings had real meaning. We might not have understood them at the time when we were told it, but we've grown to know what they were telling us. What you have, Eddie, is the words and the words, what the saying goes, you can't do wrong right. The word wrong is a number. The word right is a number. And this is what you bring to the part, adding to that. We adding to what they told us.
Yeah, that when y'all just said that and you saying that, it made me think of I might put together a class doing that, find as many old sayings as possible and seeing what numbers they come up to. And I'm quite sure that they come up to that 4 or 5. Because,
right.
Yeah.
Right the wrong way. Is right is 3, wrong is 1. A lot of people are like, "Tag, how can wrong be 1?" Well, ain't we been doing a lot of stuff the wrong way for so long, and we thought it was right?
Yeah, yes, we have.
See,
I know I
have.
But you're the one, like you said, you're looking over your shoulder because what? You the one know it's wrong.
You know it's wrong, right? You know already.
Yeah, I knew it was wrong, but I still just, you know, I was just trying to find me, and that was one of the things that I used to sneak and do when I was younger, knowing that I knew better, but I used to sneak and do it, and, you know, just to try to find me again, because I was lost.
Right. And you have to go to familiar places to bring back your memory.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's why, you know, it was like I had to go home. I had to go home to find me.
Right. And this is the other part that we don't see a lot of, family reunions. And the other thing we were talking to a friend of mine over there in Tuskegee, saying how big it is in the South that they have, especially with the HBCUs, they have homecoming. All of these schools will have a homecoming because that's a reminiscence and bringing the people back home to see what your life has been about and remembering, you know, that family. And that's being lost.
Yeah.
The homecomings that we have now are called funerals. Your homecoming,
they've
got homecoming.
People come back together at funerals for the homecoming or home going. They're going home now. They're going, and this is when we, this is, and like you said, it's basically a reunion.
And that's the majority of the families now to see each other. This is the time, this is the reunion, a funeral. Because
but
we don't have the reunions that we used to have. We don't even have block parties that we used to have in the neighborhoods when every block had, they were blocked off because you couldn't come down the street. You have a whole community basically blocked off because everybody knew everybody and we was having a block party.
And the thing was, it was that there was a sharing because everybody brought out something for us to sit and share and nurture together. They said that the same thing as the old saying is to break bread with family, with friends.
That was the old potluck that we said. Everybody brings a different dish. Everybody ain't got to try to cook everything, but if everybody bring a dish, we got enough food for everybody.
And what people always asking, you know, there was somebody in the family going like, who made the potato salad? Because if a certain person made the potato salad, ain't nobody going to eat it.
Okay.
That's so right, man. You got people that can't cook something or people they know ain't clean or something wrong. Man, don't eat that potato salad, man, you know, hey. Just get something in your plate, man, and, you know, when you go to the trash can, just put your towel, put your napkin over that part so they don't see. But, yeah, they don't. It's certain foods that certain family members cook that we knew not to eat.
And the best thing you know is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and going like, who made it? Grandma made them. Oh, yeah, everybody going. They ain't going to be no greens left when Grandma make the greens.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, the oldest.
See, I was a picky eater, so it was a lot of things that I didn't eat. I didn't eat potato salad, macaroni, the macaroni salad, and all that kind of stuff because I don't like mayonnaise or salad dressing, and the only condiment that I eat is ketchup. So all that other stuff that's in there, they knew I wasn't going to eat it. And back then when I was younger, I wouldn't even eat salt. I didn't eat salt until, Lord, I was 60, I think, maybe 58, 60. I started using salt. And I wish I never started.
Well, you've been eating it just because you didn't put it in your food. It was already in your food. As we see all the sodium and stuff now, when you go back and look at all that stuff, you see like that. Sodium was in bread. Sodium was in the peas. Sodium was in this.
Yeah.
Everything we got has got some type of sodium in it. So even though you wasn't putting none, adding it to it, you were still eating it. You were still consuming it.
Yeah, but now when they were, you know, like fried chicken and things like that, now they would not put – they wouldn't put seasoning salt or anything like that on my food because they knew I wouldn't eat it. Because I wouldn't, you know, I call myself not touching salt. I didn't know any better. It's just that I think I had heard that, you know, people die or something, you know, because of salt. It was something crazy, but you know what? I guess it must have been best for me because I didn't do it. But didn't know, as you said, that I was still getting salt.
Right.
That's why you're still here, because the salt that you didn't use and the salt that was already there, that's why you're still here with all of the little trials and tribulations you're going through. You're still here because things that we did as children that we didn't really know why we did certain things, and we did them, and now we were finding out, Dad, this is why I didn't like salt, or I didn't like sugar, I didn't like candy, I didn't like pop. I stayed away from this, and I stayed away from that. Your body was telling you things that you didn't know or recognize at that time that was best for you anyway. Now we're finding out, years later, now I see why I didn't do certain things or why I did certain things. That other people said, don't, I did. You know? So, yeah. It's coming to pass.
Yeah, so I guess that's the reason why I don't like mayonnaise, salad dressing, and things like that. I never liked that stuff. And I still don't eat it.
That's okay, because, like I said, you're still here, and it's a reason why you didn't eat it. And down the line, we'll find other stuff out about those type of products that you didn't eat and things that we didn't eat, and find out some of the stuff that they put in this stuff that was not for human consumption. Because a lot of things we eat ain't really for us to be consuming. But they don't tell us that. They making money.
Yeah, there's one thing. I'm sorry, Brother Eddie.
No, go ahead.
There is one thing that I'm really curious about. Now, everything comes from the earth. You know, materials and everything else comes from the earth. So when they talk about things being GMO, you know, that's in our food, to make plastic, it still comes from the earth. You know, it's materials from the earth. So how are things being GMO'd if it comes from the earth?
Well, go ahead, Eddie.
Well, again, as I said earlier, manufactured. They get what's natural, just like everything that they have. It's artificial. That means they've watched it from the Earth's perspective, what Mother Earth is capable of doing. Then they synthesize it, and they come, and it's never as good as the original, the authentic, what comes from the Earth. Every pill that we take, they manufacture from some plant, some bark, some root, some teeth. All this stuff is artificial, but it comes from something that started real. And they changed it. They manufactured it. That's the GMO part. They took out the natural, and they put chemicals in with the natural that is not conducive to who or what we are as humans. So it's the chemical part that they put in, because they could use everything natural to heal us. Every disease has a cure. But what they've done was put chemicals within the natural product to change its consistency, to change, to modify it. That's why it's called GMO. They're modifying the food. For what purpose? To take us out of here. There's no other purpose to do it, because it's not healthy. So why are they doing it? This is why all the drugs with chemicals have 20 or more side effects. Well, why is that? Because it's not natural anymore. They took that natural state away. Anytime they manufacture anything, it's not natural anymore. Natural, you ain't got to touch it. We can eat it raw.
Yeah.
We don't do that too much. We don't eat raw vegetables. We cook everything, which means we're cooking the nutrients out of a lot of stuff instead of eating it raw.
And the part about eating it raw, your body's temperature is what? 98.6. Let it cook inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I'll show you something. The two biggest land animals on the planet and the strongest is the elephant and the gorilla, right?
Right.
And what are they? Are they meat eaters or vegans?
They're vegans.
They're vegans.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, all these carnivores are the tigers and all these other animals and lions and wolves and, yeah, meat eaters. But, yeah, you have, like, giraffes and your tallest animal, your biggest animal, land animal, you know, strongest animal, the gorilla and all this.
Right.
All this fruit, all these vegetables. You see a big-ass hippopotamus, basically veggies. You know, they'll destroy a whole watermelon, a whole pumpkin, you know. I mean, things like, but again, it's man that has said we supposed to eat meat. This is his dietary, his sad state of being, as they say, SAD standing for Standard American Diet. That's what's sad. All this garbage that they said dealing with the food chart that we should be eating that we're finding out years later that a milk does the body bad. Dana sold us on a milk does the body good. It's not mama's milk. That's not milk you're supposed to be having. So this milk that we drinking is pasteurized, chemicals and everything else, so it could be consumed by us, is not for us.
Right.
This is why, again, we found out years later that milk has a cancer carcinogen in it that causes cancer. And how long have people been drinking milk? Since they were babies, eating cereal. Made sure all this. And cereal has an abundance of sugar. Sugar rush. And then you put milk on top of it, the dairy that a lot of people didn't know that they were lactose intolerant because of this man-made substance called milk that they told and sold everybody on with the milk mustache. They had us back in the day watching the sports figures drinking milk and had a milk mustache, and we wanted to be like one of the sports figures and drink milk. Had milk in the morning for breakfast and milk for lunch. At school, they made sure they were pumping milk in the children.
Yeah.
But this is what the government.
And then they gave you a choice between vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah, but the other part, too, is they took away recess and started giving milk at lunchtime and children getting milk in school. Because they substituted the vitamin D that comes from the sun, they put it in a carton. And the other part you asked Antoinette, you were saying about GMOs, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and GMO is genetically modified, right?
Yes.
But the thing that we have to change that GMO is God make original.
Yes.
The natural. God makes the original. And when we start looking at it that way instead of looking at what man substituted trying to take the creator's place and making the artificial, the thing that we have is now we're taking back our power because the Native American is now saying you should not eat anything that does not grow in its own packaging. And that you go out into the forest and you get and harvest or you forage for the foods that grow in the forest and the plant relatives, the apples, the greens, the naturals that grow in the forest, and you forage and you learn how to remember how to eat ancestrally. We have forgotten how to eat ancestrally. This is what we're talking about, soul food and those down-home meals, because even with Kentucky Fried Box Chicken came from us going to the south from the north, and when you got down south, you knew you couldn't stop in no restaurant, so what did Grandma do? Grandma went in the kitchen, they like Eddie said, went out there and wringed the chicken's neck, gutted it, fried it up, and put it in a shoebox. With some Wonder Bread and a piece of pound cake, So the only thing you need to do is when you get gas, get some water, and you got a meal on wheels. That's where Kentucky Fried got that from.
Yeah, and it wasn't Wonder Bread. It was bread that she made in the kitchen herself.
Yeah, and that's what if you had grandma, but because Wonder Bread was made in the north. It was made in Chicago on 55th Street, right there where the Dan Ryan is. It used to be Wonder Bread. Remember that, Eddie? I don't know if you remember.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I remember. It was basically 55th and State Street. That was like three or four blocks off of the
and
Dan
you,
Ryan.
You smell it all the way all over the South Side.
Oh yeah. But that's why they had you wondering about that bread, because you didn't get mama's and grandmama's homemade bread that they made natural. But they had you wondering about the white bread you was eating. Yeah.
Yeah, and the white bread was bleached flour, and grandma's bread was made from wheat. And her bread was dark or yellow, and their bread was bleached.
Yeah.
These are the things our children need to be taught in our home school, see, because we should be teaching. These are the classes we're supposed to be teaching that they will never teach. They will never know. They will never experience unless we, like you, Sister Antoinette, still made those homemade meals from scratch, natural.
And loaf of bread, biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still do that. Not the biscuits, because I don't remember. That was something that I lost with the aneurysm, that I forgot how I made biscuits. And I used to make them all the time. And me and my stubbornness refused to make them again until I can remember how to do it, and I won't follow anybody else's recipe.
Right.
Which is a shame, because it's been 20 years.
Only if you had wrote it down back then, you would have it.
Yeah, but you know what, back then, no, but Brother Eddie, look, I was 38 when I had that aneurysm. I just never thought, I mean, who would have thought that that would have happened at that age? Or that I was even carrying that. I didn't know. I mean, now, if I would have known, I would have wrote everything down.
But, you know, women back in the day didn't write down their recipe. They had them in their head.
Yeah,
and
that's where mine was.
Doing.
Yeah. And see, and I would have taught my daughter, because I had a daughter then, and I would have taught her, but she was only... Lord, she was just a baby then, too. I think she was maybe 5 or 6. And she remembers being in the kitchen with me, but she doesn't remember me, you know, how I did biscuits. You know, she remembers things that I did afterwards. But when I came home from the hospital, go ahead.
I remember Miss Mitchell, because my mother had her caretaker. And she was she was getting ready to make biscuits or something. She told her, reach out, look up under the sink and get me the sifter. And the girl was under there, and she was pulling out pans and moving stuff around. And she said, do you know what a sifter is? She said, not really. What does it look like? And
you can tell that is old.
Put the flour in it, and you make it so to make the flour finer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I
know.
Brother
Crowley,
you know, pulling out pots and pulling all this stuff out, trying to. And she said, "You don't get that thing right there." And she said, "What? What is?" She said, "That's the sifter." She said, "Well, what it do?" And she got the flour, she put it in, and she put it over the bowl and started turning. She said, now just turn it and crank it. And they just started making the flour finer.
Yeah.
Brother Kwame, that must be it. She must be close to my daughter's age, 30.
Yeah. It was she's 40-something, but she ain't never, you know, had that seen that used.
Oh, okay, because my daughter's 30, and she said to me one day, not too long ago about the sister where she didn't know what it was. And I'm like, you got to be kidding because you seen me use it.
Yeah.
And, she did, and I had to show her the sister, and, you know, still up in the cabinet. And, you know, I was like, why don't you know this?
Yeah, but the same thing when my granddaughters came to visit and they were talking, Grandpa, where your can opener at? I said, look in the drawer. Well, what can? I don't see no can opener. You ain't got the thing that you push down in the electric and it turn and open? I said, no, see that little thing with the little handle on it, with the little twist on it? Get that out the drawer.
You turn it.
Yeah, and I said, well, how you use this? And I just said, okay, you just clamp it down, and then you turn this little handle right here, and it opens the can. They had the hardest time trying to open the cans.
Yeah, they spent
because they wanted some salmon croquettes, and I said, okay, you go in there, open the cans, and I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, so many things that we lost, you know, just like, and I'm guilty of this. I did not realize that original sugar was brown.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they bleached everything. And I said, you know, it's something that everything that's brown, they're really trying to get away from, you know, they're trying to change it, you know, where they're claiming it. Am I saying that correctly? You know, they're claiming that sugar is white. If it's sweet, then it's from them. You know, flour, everything
that
we need.
Flour, when you get the wheat, it's brown. Rice is brown. They bleach all of this stuff.
And that's what I said, to make everything them. Yes.
And the people don't look at and see us. Right. The only thing they don't bleach and it comes is either pink or it's white. What sea salt? Salt is not bleached. You got Himalayan salt and you got red sea salt, and those salts are have a tint to them. They're not that white like sugar.
Right. Yes, that's why I said it's really something the way how, you know, not being prejudiced or anything else. Well, I guess maybe, I don't know. But the white man is doing everything to keep himself relevant.
Well, and that's the part, because what he is, he's nothing but a defective African. He's absence of melanin. And this is the part that he's trying to keep his extinction as to being absence of color. But he has to find out is that you're a defect. Everything, all the people basically on the planet have color.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with their eyes and their hair and everything else.
Everything on this planet has color.
Right.
Every planet has a color. See?
But in Native tradition, anything born albino is a spiritual message. There's something that's getting ready to happen. When you have the white lion, the white buffalo, you have the, and I use them too, because the white buffalo calf is the sign that things are going to change for Native American. For the African being brought here, the first Africans that came in 1619, the ship that they came on was called the White Lion.
Oh.
Because of the albino lion.
Biblically, basically, what is leprosy?
Right. It's the absence of color.
Yep.
And what happens is what they call skin cancer was leprosy.
Yeah. That's it. Any white blotches on that dark melanated skin, you were considered a leper. You didn't have to have those sores and lesions and everything that people believe in. No. When your pigment was not consistent, one color, and you became Michael Jackson, it started lightening up. No, 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 no. Something wrong.
And And the other thing that gets it is, you ever seen the little freckle-faced white people? They're going like, oh, you got a little splotches of black in you.
Yeah.
That's the freckle.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yes, I've seen that. I see that in my own family, you know, because they're very pale, and some of them have freckles.
Yeah, and that's the little melanin spots that's in them. They just didn't connect.
Yeah. That is really something.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
really,
but we also see it in white people.
Yeah. And that's why, and the other thing that white people do, now you find the Appalachians when they have 5 and 10 kids, you're going to find a little curly head, broad nose, thick lip, dark color, their kids. Because after 2 children, the genes begin to re-go back to what they were, and this is where you get the color, because that's why they say they only have 2 children, 2-point-something children, because if they go any further, that gene might pop back out.
Oh, okay. You know, it's like that actress, oh boy, she passed as white, you know, but she had told her daughter, and I think her name was Judy something, I believe.
Not Judy Garland, was it?
Maybe that was her. No, she was the one that was like a comedian or something too. She was funny, but she had told her daughter, don't have any children because they may find out that we're black.
Right.
That we're Negro.
Oh, and did the movie that they came out, The Killing of the Flower Moon, and this is about the Osage people, but it was also the start of the FBI with J. Edgar Hoover. Do you know J. Edgar Hoover's family was run out of Louisiana because they were trying to imitate that they was white?
I knew that Hoover was black, and he crossed, you know, he
passed for white.
Right, yes. And he didn't
want
people to know.
And that's why he has such a vengeance on black people.
Yes.
Imitation of life. Imitation of life.
I was wondering when somebody was going to mention it.
Yes.
Mahalia Jackson.
Yes.
Oh,
yep. I remember I was not allowed to watch that movie. My mother would not allow me to watch it. I didn't watch that movie until I was 22.
Wow.
Because my mother, and when I did watch it, when I did watch it and I cried and I called my mother and asked her, why couldn't I watch it? Because, you know, I thought maybe it had sex scenes in it or something. And my mother told me, she said, for the exact reason why now, you're crying. But I later discovered in my own thinking, which was maybe the last 5 or 10 years, that, okay, I know why. Because it was just the opposite. You know, my mother was very pale like that young girl, but my mother would tell you quick, she was black. She wanted to hear nothing else about it. She was black, and that was it.
Yeah.
And so I figured, you know, okay, this was just a, you know, she still the same thing, just different reasoning. You know, I guess, you know, my mom.
But there was a lot of miscegenation in this country, and this is what they had to do because the men came here, and then when they started shipping the Native American men, out down to the West Indies, it left all the women open. So this is where the whole part, and this is why they even had to make the laws, because you had the male and the brides. You know, you sent off for a woman and pay for her to come into the country, and then you ain't never seen her. All you did is got a letter from her, and then you mail, and they were called mail order brides.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I remember all that. Here Come the Brides. It was a little sitcom that they had on back in the day, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
Those mail order brides. They were mail order brides that came in to marry the men in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sad thing that so much of our history is taken out. But you know what? But it's a protection for them that they make the history the way how they want it.
And that's why they don't want CRT, because that's what's going to come out. And they don't want their whiteness told as to what they did and how they got to be where they're at.
Well, also, so that they don't get turned on. You know, that this will stop their plans of ruling the world. So it's just all the top tier, the 1%ers, you know, the Bill Gates, the, you know, whoever else, the Rothschilds and things, that for them to complete their plan. Because if these other higher-ups find out that, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm black too.
Yeah, but you got to look at something too, is that Elon Musk, the richest man right now in this country, and where was he born at? His parents took him to Canada, but he was born in South Africa.
Yes.
He's considered an Africana.
Yeah. So that makes him black. He's weird looking, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, fam. Hey, they didn't even cut us off. We doing an extra hour.
Yeah, we know.
No, we didn't. We always had that. Most of the time.
They've been cutting us off for
2 hours
and stuff. So yeah, that we supposed to get, or we used to get in that extra hour, but like I said, we only guarantee 2 hours. Anything over is, hey, that's gravy, baby. So we deal with it.
Yeah, well, we got that. We still on.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we're not talking about anything that's destructive to them and putting out the information. But you notice that when we get in topics that we're talking about them and what they're doing, that algorithm starts the interference.
Oh, yeah. They cut us in a heartbeat. You know, if we get too deep or we too hot, oh, yeah, they like, we got to pull the plug, y'all. Pull that plug.
Yeah.
And they,
they've been messing with us a lot. Look, it was hard even doing this show, Brother Kwame, because I scheduled it for one time, and it had that it went on this morning.
Right.
At 9 a.m., and I had to go back through, and, oh, my goodness, it was a mess just getting us back up and going again. Brother Eddie can tell you I was still working on it at 8:30.
Wow. Okay.
But as I said, we got it done. We're here. We got it done, and everything turned out good. Everything turned out right. So it happened the way it's supposed to. As we say, it's in divine order. So if we're supposed to be on, you know, that divine order will make it happen.
Yes, it will.
When we can't do anything and it's not that time that we need to say it, it'll come out the next week or the week after that or even on another show. It's going to come out, you know, because they can't keep us. They can't keep cutting us off and doing this. And like I said, as time goes on, we'll start talking and developing that telepathy that we have the capacity to do. But we just don't, we haven't activated it through the conversations that we should be talking about that activate those particular vessels in the brain and in our body that lets us know what and how to do these things, because it's all part of memory and consciousness that's returning. This is what that water is doing, is activating us to where we remember
and have a conscience, and we start talking about these things that we have the capacity to do. It's coming.
Yeah, and you know, Eddie, I think you got a little bit already started. You getting that frozen consciousness.
Oh, y'all lost me. What is frozen consciousness?
No. Snowflakes. It's nothing but water. Water holds memory and consciousness. When it turns into snowflakes, it's just frozen memory and consciousness.
That's it. See, because again, when we look at these things, like I keep saying, they just change the name. The number stays the same. Water is 22, which is 4. Snow is 13, which is 4.
Right.
Ice is 13, which is 4. Frozen water is ice.
Right.
It's all the same number. They just give it a different name. So, yes, that snow is nothing but the water. That once it melts on my forehead, yeah, it's opening up. It's, hey, remember this. Remember. Remember the times. Yes.
Yes.
That's what's happening. That is what's happening. And that's all part of nature and maturity.
Yep.
Becoming mature in nature.
Is heat activated.
Yes. That's it. That's it. That's why they want to control and manipulate the weather. They try their best to. And keep getting their butts kicked.
Yeah.
In Israel.
Because, did you see when they was getting ready to retaliate back on Palestine, tornadoes and windstorms came and stopped any kind of action they could do.
Man, totally.
Raining and flooding.
Yes. I'm looking at that, looking at cars. With the water, go down the street and yes. And they didn't show too much of that on the news.
No.
You know,
but they were talking about, they bombed. They didn't tell what nature dropped the bomb on them.
That's the date, man. They didn't even mention that, man. They want to talk about what Palestine is doing and Hamas and all. I'm like, hey, well, talk about what nature's doing to that. Whose side is nature on? Who's getting their butt kicked by nature?
Yeah. Israelis.
Thank you. Man. But they, like I said, they ain't going to mention because, again, people will put one and one together and see that, too. I see what y'all doing. Yeah, they'll see it. But they ain't, like I said, it's all called programming, so they keep you on that one page of the war. And we know war is part of what we talk about, reading, writing, and arithmetic. We in that war right now. And we figuring it out. We reading it, we writing it, and now we the arithmetic with the numbers. We see this shit. So yeah. They have a real gentle hand on us because they like, hey, we don't want to get them too upset because again, these are the few that have been chosen that once they really find their power, our power out, we'll be able to take them out with a thought. We ain't got to put no weapon on them because that is our weapon.
Right.
Mind power. Mind power, as James Brown said. We got it. Just got to learn how to remember how to use the power of the mind over matter, baby.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
So with that, family, we have been over this hour over, so we are over that in about 10 minutes over that. So anyway, I got some things to do in the morning, family, and got to get out here, and hopefully it won't snow no more tonight. It snowed enough. You know,
snow already?
Oh, yeah.
He in Wisconsin. They get snow early like Minnesota. But y'all going to get rafted, man, because them Arctic winds going to come down through Canada.
Oh, like I said, I'm basically chilling like a villain because, again, I'm already prepared for whatever's to come. You know, it ain't going to bother me. I'm used to it, being in Chicago all that time and being just a little north of that. I'm used to it, and again, I got all my supplies. I'm spiritually prepared because that's what I prepare more than
the physical and material, because I can buy all the stuff I need. What I can't buy is what I'm constantly meditating, praying, and practicing on. So that's where I am with that, so that anything that they throw at me, I can repel it.
Yeah. All right, sir.
All right, family.
All right,
well, next class.
Yes, thank you. Good night, Brother Kwame.
Good night.
Yes, okay, y'all. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Peace and love, family.
Peace and love. Good night.